All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me on Saturday, August 15th, 2015. It's beautiful out there, and it's moving day at the PGA Championship, an absolutely stunning leaderboard we have here. So it should be a good weekend for golf. Looking forward to talking to Frank Darby, the Manhattan Jaspers new golf coach. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with Frank Darby. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org. Is your inspection due? Are you tired of listening to that noise your car is making? If you're looking for a reliable shop to service your car, try A1 Action Auto for all your car service needs. A1 Auto is a New York State certified shop, and owner Ed Terabiel has over 25 years of experience. A1 Action Auto is conveniently located off Sunrise Highway in West Islip, so pick up the phone and call A1 Action Auto at 631-321-4242. That's 631-321-4242.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to be joined now by Frank Darby, the Manhattan Jaspers' new head golf coach. Frank, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, good morning, Anthony. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic. Before we get to your new gig at Manhattan, I wanted to just talk. A few people, I think, don't remember or don't know or should know. That you're also the tournament operations director for the Met PGA. So congratulations on another successful season at that. And maybe just talk a little bit about that before we get started.
Yeah, well, hey, I'm like the field operations guy. I'm out in the field in the morning, and I do setups ahead of time. And, you know, this section is so good, as you can tell, just by, the number of players we have in the PGA Championship. So,
sure.
And we have a very, very challenging tournament schedule with some great locations. So it's kind of fun dealing with all the superintendents and head professionals and, doing the advance work for the actual event.
Yeah, it's a lot of responsibility when you're organizing the tournaments for arguably the best section. You know, I mean, I don't want to, obviously we're a little biased, but we all know that the Met section is one of the most prestigious sections in the country.
Oh, it's well respected. Yeah, hey, it's from all the golf courses you play, you know, you do a setup, and then dealing with the superintendents, all of a sudden the greens are 13 and you're dealing with this, and but like I said, I've been doing it for a while, and I think I've got a lot of good relationships with these superintendents, so it's been very fulfilling. So
what would you say is the most rewarding part of that job?
Just watching the watching the event when it comes to a conclusion, just, everything kind of fitting in and trying to be challenging and making certain that the players get a great challenge, but it's also a fun experience as well.
So when players, when they're cursing, are they cursing your name? Is it the superintendent's name when they say, oh my God, this is too tough? Sort of a delicate balance between your work and the superintendent's work.
Oh, well, they're usually looking for me. I mean, that's fine. I mean, I have no problems with that. I mean, I think they know that I've, I haven't had many blips, knock on wood. The season's still got a couple of big events left. So, tournament management is not like you said, it's not an easy thing to do because there's only about 200-300 things that can go wrong.
Yeah, right. Sure.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, just ask the USGA, the RNA. They know how you feel. What do you have coming up that's pretty big in that regard?
Well, we just got finished with the professional national championship, which is the qualifier for year's PGA championship, which will be at Baltusrol. So mm-hmm. They're going to go to the National Club Pro Championship and hopefully get in the top 20, and we'll get some more guys into at Baltusrol next year. We've got the seniors this Monday and Tuesday championship, which is qualifying. They qualify for their senior club professional championship, which could get them into the senior PGA as well. And it's at a really good golf course called Metropolis that they've completely redesigned. And, you know, they brought the assistant in from Oakmont, so you can imagine having to deal with fast greens up there because I've got no clue what they're going to be on Monday.
Right.
But it is, they've turned a very good golf course into just a spectacular golf course right now. So, you know, I look forward to being there with all the seniors Monday, Tuesday.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Is the state open the sort of pinnacle for you for the season?
Yeah, well, the state open is kind of is a different kind of format for us because we've got a mixture of amateurs and professionals. We've got a great field. I would say that probably the ultimate one is the section championship this year, which will be at Fenway, which is another fast green. You know, their logo up there or their motto is Fenway fast, and I don't think they can get them fast enough. And it's a Tillinghast layout up there. It's kind of like a sister place to Wingfoot. So I would say that's probably our ultimate one. But, hey, anytime you're dealing with the black and being out there, it's kind of like hollowed grounds out there. It's kind of fun. That challenge is just a great one. So.
Yeah, absolutely. The black is, you know, enough said. What can we add to that that hasn't been said about it already? It's just the cream of the crop. You've switched over. You're now the new head coach of the Manhattan Jaspers. I can imagine that you're pretty excited for it.
Yeah, it's another challenge. And like I said, I was at St. John's for 20 years, and you know, I'm stepping into a nice scenario here. Jerry Wood. They brought Jerry Wood on about 4 years ago, and he kind of got the program. Not that they were ever off track, but mm-hmm. He kind of upgraded it as well. So it's been it's going to be a kind of like an easy transition in here. He's got he's recruited a number of pretty good players here, and you know, and the MAC conference is you know, they're trying to upgrade everything, all their sports as well. So yeah, I look forward to this next challenge.
How do you compare the challenge of, like you said, Mr. Wood did a little bit of the legwork for you. So is it a little bit easier of a transition in terms of what you had to do at St. John's versus what you're going to have to do at Manhattan, or are they is it totally two different things?
Well, I think there's a lot of similarities, but hey, it's all about like Coach Konosekel tell you, it's all about the players you bring in. Manhattan's got a phenomenal academic reputation here as well, so. You know, I've always prided myself on having, you know, not only really, really good players, but actually the right kind of kid that has time management values and is into their academics as well. I mean, I still think it's unbelievable that in Keegan Bradley's senior year, he made All Big East academic. So I think, you know, you got to get these kids into the program, and I think it's pretty similar. Yeah, I think it's going to be. Just a great opportunity for both Manhattan and myself.
What have you even had a chance to talk to the boys, or I'm sure maybe you've contacted them on the phone or whatnot? Have you met as a team? When will all that stuff kind of happen?
I talked to the kids the second that I got the okay to. I talked to every one of them. I talked to their parents. I talked to you know, just been constantly emailing them about you know, just trying to be prepared here. First day of classes is the 31st, so we'll start doing something immediately after that, and we open up at Rutgers in less than a month. So, you know, like I said, it'll be it's going to be as much of a challenge for those guys to get used to me as it is for me to get, you know, I've inherited eight players. And like I said, a lot of these kids, I think there's four of them from Long Island that play in a lot of different events, John Shoeb and another player named Ross Kettner and John mm-hmm. Keyes. So, they've got some experience, and you know, hey, listen, like I said, Jerry Wood did a great job, and we'll try to keep expanding on that.
What was the message to the boys when you talked to them?
We're just going to have fun. We're going to win the MAC and get back to the NCAAs.
What did that? You have a sort of a you know, a different breakdown to your team. I think you have like four sophomores, three seniors, and somebody in the middle there as a junior. You know, does the message change from player to player in terms of what you expect from those groups, the different types of the different level, I should say, academic year wise with the different players?
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, like the seniors, you know, like the seniors, I lose three seniors this year, and we've got a core of four very good players, two kids from Florida, John Shoeb, and so we've got four kids that will be around for a couple more years. And, you know, we'll try to bring in maybe one or two players at the most. We'll try to keep it to, you know, a manageable six or seven because, you know, nothing is worse than upgrading stuff and playing in good tournaments and leaving kids back.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
sure.
You have to go through these qualifying wars and this and that. So
right.
If I've got six guys and, you know, or seven guys, you can bring extra guys with you as individuals, and at least they're getting that whole experience. So, like I say, it's difficult to get everybody on board if they're not playing every week.
Losing three seniors, that's a big loss for a small program, you know, for a small roster, I should say.
Yeah, it is. But it's, like I said, it's kind of challenging for me to bring one, just maybe one more in and get to six or seven and mm-hmm. find the right play to fit in with the other guys. And like I said, I've met a couple of the kids already. I know Ross and Johnny Shobe really well.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting meeting the other kids. And, hey, it's all about, you know, team chemistry as the team gets together. And that's the tricky part about college golf because it's individual, but the team still has to kind of be there. They have to – it's kind of like a Ryder Cup scenario.
Sure.
You know, I've always been impressed with Paul Azinger did with his quad system.
Right.
Where he put guys together. So as I figure that out, we're going to let everybody kind of figure that. They need to figure me out, and I need to figure them out.
Yeah, you're right. It's sort of a unique situation, college golf, because, like you said, Ryder Cup style, where is you're playing, well, unlike the Ryder Cups, you're playing individual matches. You're spending a lot of time in buses together, practice together, but yet there's an overall team concept. And depending on the maturity of a player and the type of kid, it can get a little tricky.
Well, you look at what, like, is done. If I had my own facility, say, like, what the reason why I think Georgia is so dominant on the PGA Tour now is Chris Hack, who's a wonderful teacher. He makes everybody on the team qualify for every event.
Right.
I mean, if you win an event the week before, good luck on Monday. You're back in the qualifier.
Right.
So there's a little bit of a different thing there. And, you know, that works. It's worked pretty well for those guys as well. So if you have the opportunity to do it, and, again, your own golf course, right on campus where you can do it, I think that's probably the way to go, but it doesn't work for all programs.
Yeah, absolutely. Frank, I'm going to take a short break, and while we're at break, I'm going to look up the NCAA and see if I still have any eligibility. It seems like you may, and maybe I can come in there and get a year for you. It'd be a great pleasure.
I don't know. We have pretty tough standards. I got to check that one out, Anthony.
All right, we'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
It's here at last. Golf season. South Shore Golf specializes in golf club repair, regripping, and PGA golf instruction. They will not be undersold. They will match all local prices. For more information, call South Shore Golf, 631-563-2025, 631-563-2025, or check them out online at southshoregolf.net. Heading out east? How about a quick and easy stop for all your golf needs? Let South Shore Golf take your game to the next level.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me this beautiful Saturday. Hopefully you're either enjoying a cup of joe before you get to head to the golf course, or maybe you're in your car on your way to the golf course and checking in with us. And we're talking with the new Manhattan Jaspers golf coach and the tournament operations director for the Met PGA, which is no small challenge, Frank Darby. Frank, I'm a little taken back. I can't believe you don't want a guy who can bunt it out there 240, 250, and can make bogeys with the best of them. I'm a little hurt by
well, I may have to check that. You know, that I may have to reconsider that one. Right,
well,
there,
we'll have to do a little. You know what? We'll have to get together. We'll tee it up, and it'll be like an audition.
Yeah, that's no problem. Yes, I will definitely do that.
But when you think about this team. And sort of getting them and molding them in a way that maybe you would like to see more in your image, what does that look like?
Well, I just think it's just, you know, guys that are prepared. You know, we're going to try to kind of work a little bit on the mental wellness end of it as well. We'll get them going with Jeff Poplawski, who will be our volunteer strength and conditioning guy with TPI for, you know, for the both the fall and spring seasons right here. I just think it's just about, like I said, just trying to get as much out of their games as can. Try to make our practices a little bit more demanding, and you know, it's going to all be about scoring. So we're going to really focus on short games, and you know, use every resource we can to just try to, you know, expose them to the great players, and like I said, just have a great college experience, and I think that's the most important part.
Where have you, speaking of your resources, what are they? Where are you practicing? What does that look like?
Well, you know, we're trying to put that all together right now. We've got a number of clubs in Westchester right now that'll be the golf professionals have always been great in this section for, you know, wherever I try to go with St. John's, it'll be the same thing with Manhattan. And then just to be, you know, to be around good the great players, like I said, maybe bring them out to the section championship, sit on the driving range. I'm going to try to take them to the Barclays over there at Plainfield and just try to expose them to, you know, a couple of, you know, maybe guest kind of speakers, or let them listen to what these great players are doing. I think just by being around these guys and watching them for a couple of minutes, it's amazing what you can, you know, feel and learn from guys like Grant Sturgeon, Daryl Kessner.
Yep.
I mean, you know, Mike Diffley does a phenomenal job with the mental wellness part of the game of golf, and you know, I think he was out there at the PGA with Grant Sturgeon as well. So it's just all about, you know, just being, just trying to treat the kids as professionals, even though they're still amateurs.
Sure. So, I think not a lot of people would pick up on the fact that you just said not only see, but also feel. You can feel things when you're out there and you're watching some of the best play. Talk a little bit about that, or just, you know, I know we can't get all, well, I'm not trying to get all metaphysical here or anything like that, but there is I remember the first time I ever watched, I went to a pro tournament and saw and watched and followed people in real time, and you know, I remember specific things. I mean, I went out the next round I played, I shot the best round of my life, which was at the time 80, and so, you know, you get a feeling for that type of stuff, don't you?
Yeah, you really do. I mean, hey, you know, it's funny because, and again, I'm not trying to tell my guys that they need to be like Jason Day or Justin Rose, but, you know, I'm big on pre-shot routines, and, you know, you've got to develop your own, but you've always got to be working on it as well and tweaking it. And, you know, you watch what Jason Day does where, you know, he's focusing, he closes his eyes, he's visualizing. So just being around the great players, you watch these great players putt. It's amazing, you know, everything has a great chance to go in. They don't make everything, but it's just a question of trying to kind of take a piece from here and a piece from there. And, you know, I mean, the best part about yesterday is I got to get the video because John Daly was pretty funny right there. You know, so that'll be my motto here for the fall. Let's not be like John Daly on that hole, you know. And but, yeah, you're right. You can just see – I think the people on the tour that have made it on the tour, and that's why Keegan Bradley is so good and this and that, is because they're positive.
Right.
You know, you watch Jordan Spieth, everything is a positive thing. Rory McIlroy, they have no problem saying that they're very good players in number one and number two because they're proud of it as well.
Yeah, and you know, they have to be positive. The game is so, in terms of results, it's a very negative game. You know, I mean, in terms of how you know, you're going to lose more than you win. You're going to have more tougher days and you're going to have good days. So you have to be sort of a professional liar to yourself in some level because it's such a negative. I mean, it's a fun game, but it's in terms of results, it's a negative game.
Well, you're right. And in that line, you know, that's why the mental part of it is such a big thing, because if you think about it in golf, you hit a shot and then maybe 5, 6, 7 minutes later, you're hitting the next one. So what are you doing in between shots? Are you talking to yourself positively? Are you talking to your, you know, like Carl Alexander used to have, still has one of the best lines. He goes, hey, I have to script myself the night before about what I'm going to talk to my fellow competitors about.
Right.
And it's a great way of thinking about it because, you know, a lot of times you're playing with guys that may not be your best friends, they're rivals, maybe there's something there, but, you know, some people don't like to talk, but, you know, you need to kind of get your mind off it just for 4 or 5 minutes and then turn it back on and turn it back off. It's not like basketball where you're constantly running.
Right,
constantly
right.
doing things. So, yeah, and you're just given an opportunity for the negative part of this game to kind of seep in there, which is scary.
Yeah, and part of that is, like you said, it's not a reactionary sport. The majority of professional sports out there in general are reactionary. They're quick, they're high impact, they're high intensity. So unless you're like a pitcher for on the mound who has that time to think and not be consumed by negative or hear the boos, you have a lot of time to be in your head.
Yeah, well, that's one of the best things I've ever saw was when Kevin Costner in that movie For the Love of the Game.
Yeah, sure.
Shut down the mechanism.
Yeah, clear the mechanism, yeah.
Clear the mechanism. And, yeah, but then he could turn it back on again. But, you know, if you're not in control, it's constantly – he got a little distracted, and he could see it keep on coming back out. You're always fighting that, you know. So, you know, it's a great challenge. That's the challenge of this game.
Absolutely. You know, something that we wouldn't have had to consider when we were younger – do you talk to your players more and more now? Players have to be careful in terms of like things like social media and understand. Maybe to put it a better way is it difficult to get kids to understand that they are now a walking brand? That things that they say on Twitter, things that they do, you're part of a brand. And if you want to be something in this game, if you want to be the quality individual that I know you want them to be, is it harder to get them to wrap their brains around the fact that they can't just shoot off whatever they want to shoot off on Twitter?
Well, I think, you know, like I said, I mean, hey, I follow you on Twitter, you follow me on Twitter, so mm-hmm. I have no problem. You know, there's a lot of, I guess a lot has to do with specific sports as well.
Right.
And but with golf, I mean, hey, listen, everything I put up there has got something to do with golf
right.
related or this and that, and I kind of like embrace it, and I think that
sure.
I want these guys to do it because it gets them into that golf mode
mm-hmm.
and it gets them out of the other thing. Now I think that there's been a lot of I think Facebook is a little tough at times,
right,
but I think it's a little easier to control Twitter if you can just tell them, hey, you know, there's so many great resources. Every golf professional's got something on the tour, has got a Twitter account now, and mm-hmm. it's just, you know, so, yes, you've got to keep on mentioning it to the guys because, hey, down the line here, you know, how many PGA Tour professionals are you going to have get on the tour? It's all about life after your experience playing college golf, and let's not do anything to kind of hurt that or the program. So I think for the most part, I think that they kind of get into it pretty quickly.
Yeah, I just, you know, there's sometimes where I see like student athletes and they're on there and they're complaining about, you know, their friend or this, and it sort of takes away, I guess, or maybe in some ways it illuminates a little bit part of their personality and exposes characteristics if it's not used in the proper way.
Oh, you know, 100%, and I think that, you know, schools are well aware of it as well. You know, every meeting you have now has some sort of, you know, warning about that and be careful. And
mm-hmm.
And like I said, I think it's, I don't know, it seems to me that it's been a little bit better this year versus in the past. And I think when you hear something about it, it pretty much other people will start commenting about it. And, you know, all of a sudden they're taking it down and what have you. But,
right.
yeah, it just depends on again, who you're recruiting, what kind of kids you're recruiting as well.
Well, I mean, speaking of recruiting, is it not something that you might consider now, probably never even thought of it before, but going through a kid's Twitter feed and looking at the types of things that they're tweeting about and what they're saying?
Well, no doubt about it. You find out what they're into. Hey, you know, there's an old saying, you're allowed, you know, you've got a social part of college, you've got the academic part, and you've got the playing golf. You're allowed two of the three, so make the right choice.
Absolutely.
If it's too much social, and, yeah, I think that a lot of the issues seem to me to come from high schools, when they're in their
right.
high school and they're just starting out. So, you know, and my wife's a school teacher, and I think that a lot of the times high schools, there's not enough staff to make kids aware of that, you know, and,
yep.
and then you've got to change them once they get to you, which I think is by that time is something we can do. So.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think because it's more intense in high school.
No doubt about it. Social pressure is right. No doubt about it.
Exactly. You know? So by the time they get to you, hopefully they're a little bit, you know, mature, sort of understand, been there, done that kind of thing.
Right, exactly. And yeah, unfortunately, you only get one shot sometimes on Twitter because you can really do some serious damage. And
yeah.
And like I said, for some, you know, I follow a couple of the football coaches and the college football coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And guys like Nick Saban, they're constantly monitoring, and they're looking for, you know, character is a big thing now in the recruiting end of it, like you said before. So, hey, why not? It's social media is the way, but, you know, we got to do it correctly.
Yep. No, I agree. We have to take one more break. We'll be back to wrap things up. We'll be back in 30 seconds. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Speaking with Frank Darby, the Manhattan Jaspers golf coach, new head golf coach, and the tournament operations director for the Met PGA. Frank, we only got a couple of minutes here. What would you say is maybe the most important thing or the most fun thing you're looking forward to this season?
Oh, like I said, just getting to know my new players, getting to know the Manhattan Jaspers, the whole community up there. They've been phenomenal every time I've been in there. And, you know, just playing in a few events and you know, like young kids trying to learn how to play this game, and it's all about the process. Well, hey, it's mm-hmm. going to be about the process at Manhattan and, you know, and just kind of getting to the next level.
Do you think that you would, in addition to talking to them, how can your players get to know who you are? Will you get, like, maybe some past players or guys who have just recently graduated contact your players and talk to them a little bit? Or is this simply a thing that you're going to do on your own with them?
Oh, no. We will go over to the Barclays and maybe have a little sit-down with Keegan Bradley over mm-hmm. there in Plainfield. And, mm-hmm. Like I said, I think that there's there are so many other resources in this meta area to do stuff. And,
yeah.
Hey, it's going to be all about team chemistry. It's going to be about doing some other things. It's going to be about going maybe to a baseball game and
yeah.
occasional meals. And I think that, like Coach Koneseca, who's my mentor, it's all about showing these guys that you really love and care about them. And when you do, then you get everybody on the same page. And, you know, it's all about communicating as much as you can and just, you know, just making it as good an experience for these kids as I can.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself. This team building and communication, it's vital to anything. I mean, if you don't know how to work cohesively with another group or people, and if you don't know how to communicate, you're going to be at a loss at a lot of things, not just golf.
Yeah, well, and again, it'll help, you know, by constantly just communicating and speaking what's on your mind, it'll definitely help you in the business world as well. So
absolutely. You
know, so that's what it's all about.
Frank, I can't thank you enough. It's been a pleasure, a quick 30 minutes, but a fun one. We really wish you all the best, and if there's anything that I can do to help you and your program, please don't hesitate to ask me, and thank you for your time this morning.
Well, drop me that resume, and I'll take a look and see what kind of eligibility you got.
The next time I'm with Woody at the shop, we'll film my swing, and maybe you could just see what you got.
No, I can't see the swing. Just send me the resume. Just a hard copy.
Okay. All right, thanks, Frank. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Thanks, Anthony.
All right, take care. That was Frank Darby, the new Manhattan Jaspers golf coach. Just a wonderful guy. That's it. That's all the time we have for you this weekend, so hopefully you'll get a chance to tee it up and enjoy this great weekend. It's beautiful out there. It's going to be hot, hot, hot for the next couple of days in the 90s. So make sure you're wearing sunscreen, too. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Take care.